and a good.
I like that song. What's the name of that song? What's the name of that music? Does it have a name?
No, I don't know. I honestly don't know. So,
wait a minute, you're in a bitchy mood already.
No, I'm trying to remember because I think we had that made for us like 3 years ago when we first started this show. 3 or 4 years? How long have I been doing this? Long before Dutch was even here or SP3 was on the show, because y'all are like third generation hosts at this point. I think that was made for us.
I'm second generation.
No, we had Denise for like a hot minute.
Yeah, I came after Denise.
Yeah, so there was somebody before.
You don't know.
Oh, there was.
Yeah. There was somebody before her, but so we had that made for us, I believe, or it could have been Raju's band. I don't know, but I don't know what the name of it is. Anywho, we're off to a roaring start already. Welcome into Smack Talk here on the Sports Kita Wrestling YouTube, Facebook page, and the Wrestle Binge by Sports Kita YouTube channel. Rick Uccino, SP3, the wrestling legend himself, Dutch Mantel. Make sure to get your questions in, your comments in. Interact with us. Send us a super chat. It's a guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air. We got Andy Wilson checking in from Yorkshire, England. Hell yeah, Andy. What is going on? Hey, man, what time is it there? That's got to be like 3 a.m.
Yeah,
it is 3 a.m.
Let's go.
It's 5 hours difference.
Ozzy says, we the people. Yes.
The people. Hey, Ozzy, how you doing? Always cross your heart.
You know, Dutch, I saw you on Twitter this week, Dutch.
You did not.
I did. Somebody posted a clip. Somebody posted a clip of Adam Rose's Raw debut where you got stuck in the middle of the Rosebuds and had to dance in the middle of the ring to stumble your way out with JBL on commentary. It was absolutely hilarious.
You know, they were bouncing around, and I swear to God, I was going this high. I'm just standing there, and the ring was shooting me up. I wish I'd have had a can of pepper spray. I'd have pepper sprayed the shit out of all of them. And then, of course, I wouldn't have worked there anymore, but it would be a good comeback. Yeah, that was.
Be honest, what did you think of that gimmick at the time?
The shits. That gimmick wasn't going to draw any money. It was just, I didn't get it. And I don't think nobody else got it. I don't think he got it. Cause I asked him one day, I said, what's the deal? And he just looked at me. And so I don't know. It had no story. It would just showed up. And there I am out in the middle of all of them for no apparent reason whatsoever. I was just mixed in with them. So, but that's
though?
But they didn't ask me.
If you go back and you look at the early days of the Rosebuds SP3, there are a lot of like big time stars who got their start as Rosebuds on television.
Braun Strowman, Becky Lynch, like a whole bunch of big names were a part of what was they called? The Rosebuds? Yeah,
the Rosebuds. Yeah, Adam Rose and the Rosebuds.
Well, the reason they did better, so I said, hey, y'all need to get away from this shit. It's going to kill you. You need to start something else. Get away from it now while you still got time.
Like cut bait immediately. He is shooting with a bunny. Yeah.
Cut bait. That's good.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Dude, there were people reading Becky's book, she volunteered for that just to get on TV. Like, there were some people who use that as an avenue just to do something. So, hey, at least it worked for some people. Didn't work for Adam Rose, unfortunately. So, here we are. It's 2024. We're talking about Adam Rose on
So, you don't like Adam Rose?
I didn't like the gimmick or the character so much. It just had a short shelf life. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it did have a short shelf life. Did it have a shelf life? I think he just put it up there and took it down. Didn't even sit on the shelf that long.
I mean, look, that's a Vince special. It's, wouldn't it be funny if we did this? And then literally it was weeks of that.
Wouldn't it be
else.
Funny, pal, if we put that goddamn Dutch out there in the middle of it? They just beat the shit out of him. That's funny, pal.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it went. Same with like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we just had a group of male models and then we do nothing with them whatsoever?
Yeah. Like my hat, got a little color in it. See?
What kind of hat is that?
It's the University of Dutch hat.
Okay.
But it's just a different color, and I just turned it backwards.
And where can people get that hat?
Well, some people are still waiting on it because I got them, but I'm trying to figure out how to address the damn things. Crazy. But you can get it by Dirty Dutch Mantel with two L's at gmail.com. Thank you, Sid. You see, my host didn't help me out a damn bit here, my merchant sales, my merch sales. He don't give a crap. Okay, continue, Rick.
We got a question here from Italian saying, where is Jacob Fatu? I don't know if you're yelling at me or if his name is going to be like Gunther and it's all in caps. But anyway, where is Jacob Fatu?
Usually not, but they don't need him right now. They they just did the debut of Tongaloa. They are just introduced him. He's fitting in nicely. He's got his old suit, looking like a regular part of the mob that is the new bloodline. And we got some development in the new bloodline as officially Solo Sikoa is in charge of the bloodlines by orders of the tribal chief.
We think anyway, but can we just real quick, can we just real quick, you know, give a tip of the cap to WWE? Cause everybody and their brother thought if we were going to get some kind of interference in, Lyon, France at Backlash, it was going to be Jacob Fatu. And then Tagaloa shows up and there was not even a sniff of a report or a rumor of that man showing up in WWE. It was 100% a complete surprise. And we don't get that a whole lot anymore.
Yeah, I think the reason that a lot of people aren't making a bigger deal about it is because I'm a New Japan fan, folks. So that was a victory for New Japan. Even though they lost somebody on their roster, it was a victory. That's all I'll say. But congrats. I hope he gets that WWE bag.
Okay, fair enough. I'll have to ask you about that one a little bit.
I mean, you really don't. All you have to do is look up Tongaloa singles matches.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what's it going to say?
You would just see a highlight reel of some of his greatest hits or greatest matches.
Okay.
Oh, good gosh.
There's a reason why he is best fit in a tag team with his brother.
Fair enough. Hunter Short saying, did we see the new QR code tonight? I did see it pop up on Twitter. Very, very interesting. I think it's the best one that they've done so far. I want to go back and rewatch it again because I don't remember the verbiage that was used in it. But this is definitely going to be Bo Dallas and some kind of version of a new Wyatt family. And latest reports are they may show up at King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia. So we shall see. Ozzy with the super chat. Always appreciate that. Poor Rick, his buddy, Brain Corbin. Apparently his name is Brain Corbin now. lost again. We'll talk about the match. I'm happy to see Baron back up on the main roster. I think that guy's got rejuvenated down in NXT. I think hopefully they got something for him, but.
Are we going to talk about the news that I want to talk about? See,
if
folks,
we must,
I suggest
we must.
Something here, and they just hold it from me. These two bastards here torture me.
Okay, what would you like to talk about before we get into the show?
Okay, you told me you didn't see it. The Ric Flair bar incident.
I heard about it. And more often than not, if I see Ric Flair's name, I kind of just tune it out at this stage in the game. That's just where I'm at in my life. So,
well, Ric Flair says that if people see this on social media, they're never going to that bar again because he's never, ever been so mistreated as he was in that bar in Gainesville, Florida. Now, he was in Florida for a graduation, I think, for some relatives of his wife, I think. They were graduating from University of Florida, something. And he went in this bar and he got damn staggering ass drunk, which is no big deal. He always does that. But the bar manager told him that you're cut off. And he got pissed off. Then he come up to the bar and the camera was behind the bar, but they were speaking loud enough you could kind of hear what they're saying. And he just kind of cussed the bar manager out and, you know, tried to get him to go outside and they were going to have a fight and all this. And he called him a, a D head and all this kind of stuff. But seriously, it was embarrassing. I got embarrassed for him. But the redeeming value of it is some other guy about two doors down at the bar. He told Flair, hey, let's go outside. He said, I'll work on your ass a little bit. And Flair said, what'd you say? Everybody heard what he said except Flair. What'd you say? But, you know, if he'd have went outside with that guy and they got into it and the guy punched Flair, he'd go to jail just for punching him. I mean, even if Flair threw the first punch.
And if he didn't, he'd get sued. So, yeah.
Yeah, because if you're over 65 in Florida and somebody hits you, well, they're going right to jail.
That's elder abuse.
That is. So, but Flair, then he came back, the little bastard. He came back and said, I want to apologize because I was rude. Did you see his apology? Anybody see his apology?
I saw bits and pieces of it, but
well, he came back and he apologized. Damn. Ric Flair, he gets all these passes for all this stuff he does. If a young guy had done that, everybody tell him, hey, you better cut that crap out. You better cut it out. But it's Flair. So therefore, I guess it's okay if you're Flair, you can get by with that.
Wasn't he initially like threatening legal action against the bar or something like that? Like,
yeah, he was. But then he got exposed when the video came out. So Ric Flair, yeah, he takes the L for this one, but he's not the only person who apologized this week, Dutch. I wanted to ask you about.
I didn't apologize for it.
No, you didn't.
Oh, you don't know.
You didn't have anything to apologize about.
Yeah, I don't do that stuff. Who did apologize?
Triple H, because I don't know if you saw the WWE Backlash press conference. It was a, you know, a regular WWE press conference until the final question. He took one more question before the Kentucky Derby started, and it was a young man out of France. I believe it's Lucas Capari. I'm not pronouncing his last name right. It's Lucas. His name is Lucas, but he asked a question basically pertaining to the whole Drew Gulak situation, asking if Drew Gulak got released because it was according to Fightful Select and PW Insider. To be fair to him, his English is his second language, and he tried his best to kind of articulate the question and also include the fact that it happened after Ronda Rousey made the accusation against Drew Gulak. And Triple H basically took the opportunity, because he did mention Fightful as well as PW Insider, to basically take a shot at them, saying that, oh, if you're going to ask about a report, have it be from credible sources or reliable sources. And he basically insulted them, and then he went back on that and said, oh, sorry to both outlets, and actually sent cheese to Sean Ross Sapp as an apology for insulting Fightful. And then also it came out this week that WWE PR went to that media person and told them what that was a dumb thing to say, to ask that question. The only legit question during that whole press conference. They told them that was dumb to ask.
That part of it was interesting to me. I think the whole... I do buy that the whole exchange was a little bit misinterpreted on Triple H's part, for the fact that, you know, Ronda Rousey was brought up and the fact that the allegations against Drew Gulak were part of the reason why he was released. That's what he read into the question, which neither Fightful or PW Insider reported that Ronda Rousey had anything to do with the release. And that's when Triple H made the comment about sources not being credible. Triple H's side of the story, again, according to Sean Ross Sapp, who said he did get a call from Triple H apologizing, was the fact that, said he wasn't... you know. So the Triple H was taking a shot at anybody who reported that Ronda Rousey had something to do with Drew Gulak being released. That is not accurate, apparently. And besides, he wasn't even released. That part was cleared up. His contract just... was not renewed.
It's basically the same thing.
It's splitting hairs. It was a question that Triple H didn't
want to
answer.
And he didn't even answer the real question.
He didn't want to answer it, and he threw out a joke so he could, you know, swing around and get out of it. But Yeah, he.
Come on, guys. I think we're a little bit nitpicking here. He wasn't released, but his contract was up.
Exactly.
You get released when your contract is up, and they refuse to.
He didn't want to talk about Ronda Rousey or the allegations. He didn't want to talk about Ronda Rousey or the allegations, so he just said something to grab some attention. And it's the sleight of hand stuff where it's like, hey, look at what I said over here kind of a thing, and then let's not focus on what the question actually was. So it was a miscommunication. He did not publicly apologize to Sean, but Sean sent out a tweet saying, hey, just one of those sarcastic-ass tweets that Ross Epps sends out where he's like, I want people to send me a wheel of French cheeses as an apology. And then WWE sent him a French cheese basket with a handwritten note that was an actual apology. So that was good on their part. But the interesting part to me was WWE PR apparently telling
apparently
the reporter
allegedly
that was a dumb thing to say, because I've been at these press conferences. I have never in, and I've been at press conferences where they have talked about the allegations against Vince, where there have been really serious, well thought out journalistic integrity, all this stuff questions. Never once have I personally heard or seen anybody get reprimanded for saying something like that. So that was very
okay. Who got reprimanded? Triple H?
No, the guy who asked the question.
Oh, by Triple H.
No, by the PR staff, apparently. Somebody in the whoever handed him the microphone, I'm assuming, said that was a dumb thing. Told him that was a dumb thing to say, according to Lucas. Was it Lucas?
Yeah.
So that was the weirdest part to me. Like miscommunication. I know Triple H's game when he gets up there and he does the press conferences and he apologized to Sean and PW Insider and all that stuff. But WWE PR saying that was a dumb thing to say. If that actually happened, that's interesting to me, because they've never, ever had a problem with any of the events that I've been to. That's just my personal experience.
That's your personal experience. I've also saw certain people who said that there was miscommunication on WrestleMania press conference as far as who got in, who didn't get in on each night. So it's an ongoing whole thing. I brought it up because I wanted to ask Dutch, what is his opinion of the whole like media scrums and press conferences? Because honestly, the top two promotions have shown me I don't think either one of them should do it anymore.
And that's what Nasir Alexander says.
I hate that stuff. I do. You know, if you don't answer the question, oh, you're kayfabing them. Oh, don't. That to me is lowering somebody if you're just going to talk like storyline. So why even have it? Now, if somebody's hurt, you just report the facts. But the other thing, like the Ronda Rousey and the Drew, what's his name, Gulak? Is that his name? I never followed that from the beginning anyway. I mean, I know what happened, and said he tried to grab her deal, holding up her sweatpants or whatever. But I thought it was blown completely out of proportion. And all of a sudden, here you go, Ronda Rousey, she's gone. She's not worrying about it anymore.
She's not worried about any of this.
And
she's worried about selling books. That's it.
If I was Drew Gulak, I'd try to be hooking up with another wrestling company or doing something and put this behind you. They never did anything. I've never even seen him have but one match on WWE TV. Did they do anything with him?
Gulak? Yeah, they used him in the cruiserweight division when they first got him, and then they put him on NXT. He was a trainer, but basically what the real story is what Triple H could have just said, because it's not that bad if you really think about it, is that yes, Ronda Rousey's allegations led to WWE doing an investigation. Throughout their investigation, they found out that Drew Gulak was a bad trainer who was injuring the people that he was training and injuring his opponents during matches on NXT, according to a report by Fightful Select. But Triple H didn't want to answer that question. When he could have just answered it instead of insulting people and putting out a smoke screen.
I have no, I don't know what he did training, but this looks like Mr. Drew Gulak. He just had a really string of bad luck in the last month or so. and it resulted in him being released from WWE.
No, you know it kind of. It kind of feels like Drew Gulak is Drake and Ronda Rousey was Kendrick Lamar. Is that they were doing a bunch of stuff that we didn't know about until someone said it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ronda opened up a can of worms and it came back to bite him. I'll say this about the press scrums. I do enjoy taking part in them. I think the issue with them is nobody can decide what they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Are they... And it's such a mixed bag because the talent, like, and once, okay, so take the WrestleMania night one press conference. Roman Reigns comes out there and he is all tribal chief in character. He has a fan get tossed out.
But that is the best ones. That's the one that made me the most memorable from WrestleMania night one. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Rick, but honestly, when the people play their characters, that's the best ones on the press conference. Roman. Timeless Tony Storm, when Jay and Cody were drunk playing their characters at the Fastlane one, those are the best ones. Only do that. I don't need the real lit. I don't need 20 minutes of Tony Khan or Triple H because they don't know how to handle that. I'd rather the performers perform during the press conference and play their characters in a press conference form.
Then they should just do it with Caleb Braxton and you know, Byron Saxton asking the questions. If everybody's going to be in character and it's going to be part of the show, like, I ain't getting paid to be part of the show. I'm there to get quotes for the stories that
there's a reason for that, Rick. There's a reason you're not being paid to be part of the show.
Because I'm not part of the show. I'm there to cover the show.
They don't want that viewership to go down.
I don't want to talk to the characters. I want to talk to the performers. So if somebody's in kayfabe, if somebody's in kayfabe stuff for me, it may be the most entertaining part, and I'm not going to ask them a question. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I'm not going to take part in that. And I've seen other media members who, as soon as somebody, like, who have their hands up, and as soon as they're in performance mode, they put their hands down. And then that's when you end up getting people who are, you know, inexperienced, you know, who need experience, but some of these wrestling media people who are going to their first ever press conferences, that's when you get the softball in character stuff that people constantly complain about on social media.
I don't think anyone complains about an in character question to a Timeless Tony Storm or an in character question to a Roman. Well, Roman Reigns, he plays his character in a way you can ask him a serious question, but he's going to answer it in the tone of Roman Reigns the character. But it has a little, all Roman Reigns the character is Roman Reigns turned up to 10. So you're going to get an honest question.
And Roman, when he was asked about his leukemia, he immediately shut it off. He went into he started being Joe, and then he was answering questions like he was Joe. And then Rock comes out, and Rock is just nice, smiling.
Yeah,
he was TKO board member Rock at that point. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't the final boss anymore at that point. So it's such a mixed bag because you just don't know what you're going to get, and it's. Yeah, they just need to decide what they're going to be if they're going to keep doing them.
Do they know what the questions are beforehand?
No. And we're not. And we're never told we can't ask something. We're never told we need to ask this. It's a press scrum, but we all don't know what we're going to get.
So I'm going to just suggest Tony Khan and Triple H don't do the press conference. Let the guys and the gals make the decision if they want to be a character, they want to not, they want to answer it freely. I rather the performers. And that is more what these media people want. Like, honestly, I'm sorry. You ask a real question to a Triple H or a Tony Khan, they don't know how to answer it.
You know who does? Shawn Michaels.
No.
Shawn Michaels, press conferences and his press calls before events, he gets asked hard questions and he answers them honestly, truthfully. There's no BS. He answers them eloquently. And he moves on. He is, for a guy who's had like very little or no media training, Shawn Michaels is great at those press conferences. And maybe he could coach Triple H a little bit.
Name a hard question he's had.
He was specifically asked about sexual misconduct allegations made against him.
Mm-hmm. I think you need to also add the caveat because Dutch doesn't know about the situation. This was after Triple H botched at the Royal Rumble press conference. So I wanted to put the caveat as well for Shawn Michaels that yes, he does very well in those conference calls. those are conference calls. That's not what we're really discussing here. We're discussing the press conference where we don't know if Shawn Michaels has a piece of paper behind, like right here. If he's doing a Zoom call, it could be like this, and I have a piece mm-hmm. of paper that I could blink down to and get the answer that I need for every single question. We don't know because it's a conference call. But if he's in the press conference, I think that's a different situation we haven't seen him in yet.
Now, a conference call that you're talking about is just my phone. No video?
No, it's Zoom.
It could be, it's usually.
It's Zoom. I've been on them before, and he makes pretty good eye contact with the screen the entire time. I'll say that.
Yeah, I don't much like the scrums anyway, because just for the.
You could put up a freaking Microsoft Word on your screen.
You can
like, real quick, just click a button. And still look at the screen.
Well, if someone asked me a hard question, I'd fake a stroke and not answer.
All right, let's BS'd enough. Let's dive into the actual show here, guys.
You guys need to get a little more goddamn serious here, is what I gotta say. Go ahead.
These are the type of conversations that Dutch likes on this show.
Yeah. Bullshit.
Exactly.
Hey, okay, who liked the show tonight?
I liked it.
It was good.
I did. Yeah. You know what I noticed though? Boy, they've cut a lot of extra stuff out. They're taking their time with it more. It's more slowed down. And I think it's made it better. So I liked it tonight.
Real quick, Chuck Berries says, Cody Rhodes handles the media scrums the best. Look, WWE didn't really do media scrums until Cody came into the company. Like, he was the first one that they had after WrestleMania 38 when he made his debut. Like, they actually invited us back out to the Talent Hotel the next morning to have a sit down media scrum with Cody Rhodes. That's something he brought to WWE with him. So yeah, he's great. I'll always talk to Cody Rhodes in those press scrums for sure. So we open up the show tonight with Nick Aldis introducing Cody Rhodes' next challenger for the King and Queen of the Ring event in Saudi Arabia on May 25th. And it's Logan Paul. Now, full disclosure, for those who are watching, the first hour of this show I spent with the volume turned down a little bit as I was waiting for my son to fall asleep. So I'm watching the first hour on my cell phone, not taking any notes, waiting for him to fall asleep. So I missed a little bit of the conversation that Logan Paul and Cody Rhodes had. But it sure sounds like they were setting up for this to be both belts on the line. I believe Cody mentioned the fact that if he took Logan's title, he would become a Grand Slam champion.
Yes.
And then at the end of the night, Graves said the match was just for the WWE title. And then if you look at WWE.com, it doesn't specifically say one way or the other. It just says a champion versus champion match. So I have no clue what belt is on the line here, but seeing as they set it up to be Cody Rhodes' next challenger, I'm assuming the United States title is not going to be at play here, because if it is, and it is winner take all, that's very interesting, because I don't see Logan Paul winning that and then putting both titles on Cody Rhodes. That's an interesting move. No. What was your guys' overall thought? Let's start with you. What was your overall thoughts on the promo exchange and the fact that Logan Paul is now Cody Rhodes' challenger here in 2 weeks?
Who'd you send it to?
You.
Dutch.
Okay.
It's always good to you.
Logan Paul is not going to win that. And if it is, and if, say, Cody wins, if it's for that other belt, I think they're going to retire the belt that Logan Paul has. Doesn't mean anything, does it? I mean, just because somebody's got a belt, I mean, you got to have all the companies I worked for, they had one belt. And one tag belt, and that's all they had. Of course, they were nothing the size of WWE either, and didn't have two shows. So I can see why they might want to have two. But I will say one thing. That crowd helped that interview a lot, because they didn't say nothing, really. But the crowd, I mean, it looks like everybody in the crowd saw the France show, and they didn't want to be outdone. So they were pretty lively out there. So,
yeah, going from Lyon to Connecticut on Monday was
it doesn't make me want to see the match. Say what now?
I was going to say it was a bit of a shock going from Lyon to Connecticut on Monday. Connecticut's crowd was awful on Monday. Tonight, Wilkes-Barre definitely brought it for sure. SP3, what did you think of the promo exchange? I think the crowd helped in the fact that they kind of lit a fire under Logan Paul, and then he kind of started ripping at them a little bit when they were, you know, chanting about Prime and this, that, and the other stuff, and he got to go off the cuff a little bit, and I thought that improved. Logan's good on the mic. He's good in the ring. This is an interesting matchup.
He's really good.
How long has he been
working? 3 years?
Yeah.
He's been in WWE for just over two years. Mm-hmm. I would just say, I love this segment. I think this was the best segment Cody's been involved in since he became undisputed WWE champion, because he's finally gone against an actual heel. Someone we are not supposed to like. Because AJ Styles, I'm sorry, no matter how many good heel promos he does, people love him. So this is a heel we are supposed to dislike. And I love the fact that Logan Paul twisted around the narrative of the fact that both guys debuted at WrestleMania 38. And he says that they've kind of been like parallels of each other, and how he had the greatest rookie year of all time, how he became United States champion in his fifth match, and how he says, how is Cody supposed to finish his story when it isn't even his story to tell? I love that. That was great. And he said, I'm gonna knock you out on top of the Prime logo and walk out of Saudi Arabia as undisputed WWE champion. And he's the perfect challenger to do at Saudi Arabia, because we just saw it 2 years ago against Roman Reigns at Crown Jewel. Those Saudi Arabia fans love Logan Paul, but they love Cody as well. So they'll pick Cody over Logan Paul. And this is just the right pest type of heel. And it's one that not a lot of people thought of, because he's already a champion. They didn't think that he would be the next challenger for Cody Rhodes. So he's like the perfect challenger for right now. It's too soon for Orton. It's too soon for Kevin Owens to turn heel and go against Cody Rhodes. It's too soon to do another LA Knight title match. So there's only one person left after AJ Styles. It's Logan Paul. This makes all the sense in the world. And honestly, I want it to be for both titles, because then I would bet on a non-finish at King of the Ring so we can keep this going afterwards, because they only got 2 weeks to build this thing.
Yeah. Look, color me pleasantly surprised at the fact that Cody and AJ seemingly finished their thing. Look, it was a quick 2 week thing with AJ. This might be a quick two week thing with Logan Paul. But I kind of agree with you. I would hope that this would go a little bit, because I feel like this is something that would have a little bit of legs to it. Because they got to build somebody up. They got to build another heel up to go up against Cody. And they're in the middle of a King of the Ring tournament right now. So unless the winner comes from the SmackDown side and is a heel, so unless it's like Tonga or Santos Escobar or somebody like that, I don't know, but we'll see.
I know the heel that could go against him.
Yes.
Corbin.
Oh no, there's a big heel that actually teased going after Cody Rhodes on this show.
Who's this?
Solo Sikoa.
Yeah.
He would be next.
He said that Roman lost our title.
Yes, we will get to Solo Sikoa. I'm gonna split this up because we had six matches in the King and Queen of the Ring. I'm going to split them up by the tournaments themselves so we can all just kind of group them together. Let's start with the Queen of the Ring matches. First one we saw tonight was Nia Jax defeating Naomi. I thought this was a really, really good match.
Good.
Nia took a top rope Hurricane Rana. Never thought I would see that. Jax does end up getting the win. Naomi takes another L, unfortunately, after she just took the pinfall loss in Lyon, France, in the triple threat match for the women's title, but she did look strong in defeat. What did we think of this first round matchup, Dutch?
Very good. See, Nia Jax, they've kind of slowed her down, and in slowing her down, she's not so dangerous. I think she was rushing before, and I think they're in their heads, in the back, saying slow down, and everything made sense. There was nothing stupid they did. So I really enjoyed the match, enjoyed the finish, and it was good from go to woe. So They got it going, and Nia gets a good win there.
Yeah, to Nia's credit, she's been great since she came back. She got herself in tremendous shape, which is another thing that, you know, she openly talked about after she was released, saying, like, look, she, first off, when she came up, she was still too green to be up there. And then secondly, she was twice as big as every other woman she would go up in the ring against. And she was just, she didn't know how to control her size, her strength, and her power, and shit would happen. And she's got much more control of herself now. Her obviously her conditioning and her cardio is better. She's putting on the best matches of her career. This was another really good one tonight, SP3, I thought. Good performance for her.
Yeah, yeah. Nia's on the best run of her career for sure. And she had a pretty good chemistry here with Naomi. I love that Hurricane Rana. That was beautiful by her.
That was a great move. And I got up there and I went, I don't know about this one. But it was perfect.
And I just enjoyed how Nia like manhandled her at the end, just getting her into the position for the Annihilator. It was like, yeah, powerbomb, throw you on your stomach, throw your ass over here.
F this, I'm done. I'm done. F this, it's over. God, finish her. Fatality, it's done.
Nia Jax, she did drop like a dangerous elbow. She dropped it in the wrong place. You can't drop it across the solar plexus or down. You got to go a little bit up on the chest a little bit, but maybe she'll get it. Hope she don't. If you get hit in that solar plexus, you can get the wind knocked out of you laying down.
I thought Naomi got the wind knocked out of her on the Samoan drop on the floor, because that looked bad. That looked like a bad bump for her.
Yeah. We did get also Jade Cargill going up against Piper Niven. This is a match that was exactly what I wanted it to be. Piper stepping up as a true physical challenge to Jade Cargill, which we have not seen with her really since the Royal Rumble debut when she went toe-to-toe with Nia Jax. But even Nia Jax, she basically manhandled and chucked out of the ring. This is like the first person that was like a physical challenge to her. And Piper got a fair amount of offense in here. You know, Jade working the babyface angle, letting her sell a little bit, which is something we don't get to see her do a whole lot. So it's nice that she gets to work on that. But when it came time for Piper to make Jade look good, I think she delivered and then some. That pump kick, she sold spectacularly. Jade was able to show off her power, getting Piper up for Jaded. I liked this as well. Jade moves on over Piper. I was questioning why Chelsea Green wasn't in this tournament, but maybe Chelsea Green, after her interaction with Bayley tonight, it could be set up as the next challenger to Bayley. I'm not sure. We'll see how things shake out there. But nevertheless, Jade moves on. SP3, what'd you think?
This was fine. Yeah, it was fine. And this is the most that Jade Cargill's ever sold in her life. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because this is the first time I remember Jade Cargill working babyface in a singles matchup. So it was exactly what I expected. It was just fine, and she made it out well, and she had a good finish with the Jaded at the end. So she looked good. I was like, man, you could have took this, and I could tell you like 5,000 John Cena matches that went the same way, where he sold the whole matchup, hit two or three moves, and won. I was like, Jade Cargill on that John Cena Hulk Hogan workout plan. I love it.
That's your thoughts.
That was actually better than I thought it would be. I've never seen Piper Niven before, but she played the role of a bigger girl and stood her ground. And so for me, seeing her for the first time, and I kind of knew who the winner was going to be. But right, if I was a brand new fan, I couldn't have told you the winner up front. I could say who I thought I wanted to win. And Piper Niven, it didn't hurt her a bit. The best bump in the match was Chelsea Green taking the punch off the apron. That was the best bump of the match, and what a hell of a bump it was.
Chelsea's great.
I tell you, Chelsea Green is a diamond in the rough. They're going to get a lot of returns out of her. If they just don't, because people like her. She's funny. She's a smart ass. So I think they're going to get a lot of return out of her.
Yeah, she, I would love
this. You said Chelsea, but I think Piper Niven might get the shot at Bayley at Clash at the Castle.
Oh, that makes a ton of sense. That makes a ton of sense. Real quick, I missed a super chat earlier. Nasir Alexander, Cody, two belts. I don't care. it would be interesting.
He's a part of the community that's over Cody being champion after a month. Y'all wanted this so bad.
I think he's rooting for Cody. I think he's saying Cody two belts. I don't give a damn. Let's go.
Of course, I see his picture. He's rooting for Cody, but there is some people out there that is like complaining about Cody being champion. I'm like, geez, like Dijak was.
I'm not on the bandwagon Michael. Either. I'm really not.
That is true. We did a podcast, 2-3 weeks ago that was titled Cody Rhodes is Transitional Champion.
Well, he will be a transitional champion, but not right now. But he'll have to drop it. But they got those heels coming up, and let's see him. But the thing you got to say about Cody, he is over. Yeah. Big time over.
Big time.
So, no doubt. Next week, by the way, the quarterfinals matchup and the semifinals match on the SmackDown side is going to be Jade Cargill versus Nia Jax. So,
but didn't they already have a match, you said?
No, they squared off in the Royal Rumble. They never paid that one back.
I want to see that match, and I want to see how they put it together.
Yeah. I'm very interested in that one because I can't call that one right now. I don't know who wins that one. Unless I said when they booked these matches, these first round matches, I was like, are they really about to give us Bianca and Jade?
Well, let's talk about that. Bianca does defeat Candice LeRae, and LeRae's SmackDown debut tonight. Probably the quickest match of the night, I would think.
Less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was a very quick sprint. Candice got her licks in. She got some offense in, attacked the knee. Bianca was limping heavily at the end of it. Really, this was just Bianca catching Candice and hitting her with the KOD, one finish, one punch hit, and she was done.
She was selling her knee, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, that's going to be the reason she loses, which is logical. And they outsmarted me, so it was good.
I think that's what they're setting up for next week, because I don't think they're going to give us Bianca versus Jade in a Queen of the Ring semifinals matchup. Now, I'm sitting here saying the same thing over on Raw. I'm like, are they really going to give us Gunther and Dragunov for the first time on the main roster in the King of the Ring semifinals?
They got two very interesting quarterfinal matches for next week with Dragunov versus Jey Uso on Raw.
Yeah.
And then Nia versus Jade Cargill on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, guys.
Because they telegraph what's happening on the men's side on the SmackDown side already. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have time limits on these matches, do they?
No.
I was thinking that could be a good way to just have to beat somebody and not pin them, but just have the decision go against them. I don't know why they don't have that.
They should.
So I think that'd be a way to save somebody from taking a pin, taking a defeat. You know, if you just let a judge or two, or the referee. He picks the winner, and it could be a way for you to turn that heel referee just a little bit. I mean, not right away, just let it play out, see what happens. But I think they need to bring back, I like time limits.
I agree. I always enjoy the use of time limits in AEW and New Japan. I do want to ask, since we just talked about Bianca versus Candice, the Candice LeRae that Rick over here said he wants to see against Bayley for a WWE Women's Championship matchup. How do you feel about that after she lost in less than 3 minutes?
Yeah, I already said it wasn't the
Candice LeRae. You're talking about Candice LeRae. Very uninformed on her. Tonight was the first night I've ever seen her. Heard the name, but never saw her.
She's so much better than 3 minutes.
Yeah, I would have preferred this, like, in all honesty.
Yeah, Rick,
I would have
why'd preferred you this. Book it that way?
I would have preferred Indy Hartwell to be in this spot, to be completely honest with you. Indy is somebody who has a lot of time left in this business, I believe. Somebody who, the main roster doesn't know that well. I don't think that would have hurt her as much. I'm tired of seeing Candice lose quickly. But this does set up, as we talked about, the potential Jade Belair semifinal. But I think, Dutch, you're on the right track with the knee injury, because I think the knee injury sets it up for presumably Tiffany Stratton to take advantage of that next week and beat Belair in the quarterfinals after Tiffany, again, presumably knocks off Meechan this weekend at the WWE.
Presumably.
I'm just saying.
Meechan wins on NXT.
What did you say presumably might happen?
So the final, the last first round matchup is Tiffany Stratton versus Meechan, and it's happening at a house show in WWE this weekend. The remaining core opening round matchups, because they didn't have enough time to put them all on TV with only, you know, 3 weeks before King of the Ring. There's like four matches that are happening on house shows this weekend. So presumably Tiffany will win. She'll take on Bianca next week. And if Bianca's hurt, that opens up an avenue for Tiffany to take advantage and win the match. And a way that at least protects Belair a little bit and keeps us away from Belair and Cargill, the tag champs, facing off in the semifinals.
So who goes into the finals? Who's in the finals?
I think it's going to be Jade.
And Tiffany?
No, that would be the semifinals matchup. There's another, there's a Raw side of the bracket.
Jade facing who?
I'm trying to think of the Raw side of the bracket.
Clock's working.
It's Io, Shayna, Lyra, and Zoe.
Man.
That's why it makes more sense to do Tiffany Stratton and Lyra Valkyria.
It does. God, they're going to have Jade lose this quickly? Or is it going to be by DQ? It's very interesting.
It's against Tiffany Stratton, so it's not like she's losing.
No, I don't think Jade.
No, I know.
I think they'll put the belt on Jade right off the bat.
You think they make her Queen of the Ring as well as women's tag team champion?
According to how much a push they're going to give her. It looks like they're going to put a rocket on her butt. So
I mean, she had a lengthy undefeated streak in AEW. Are we just assuming that's going to be the case in WWE as well?
We don't mention those rejects. Mm-hmm. We can't mention those people. Yeah. You know, they're persona non grata around here.
It seems like they are pushing her differently than AEW did. You know, this is like I said, this is the most that she's ever sold.
She went 60-0 over there.
Yeah. She went 60-0, but this is the most she ever sold. I've seen her sold in a matchup. So they're trying a different way to present and push Jade Cargill. And I appreciate that, because I hate the fact that they have just given the Goldberg push to Braun Breaker. I think that's you're taking him back to what he was.
I really hate that. That's a copy.
Yeah. It's a copycat.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Somebody asked about Braun Breaker earlier, saying where he went, why he wasn't in King of the Ring. We're actually going to find that out, I would hope, next week, because there was a backstage segment with Adam Pearce where Braun Breaker showed up, asked him why he wasn't in King of the Ring, and Adam Pearce made it sound like there was a good reason for it and they needed to talk in his office. So hopefully we'll find out here soon. Rashad asking, is Bianca going to turn her back on Jade? That's the rumor going around. I think they'll build to that at some point. I think it's going to be a slow burn with Bianca's heel turn. She's showing frustration. She's showing a lot of different emotions. She's not being the happy-go-lucky, smiling, twirl of the hair around all the time, which is great. You know, characters need to be more nuanced, right? So I think eventually they'll get to that, but I think it's going to be a slow build. Let's get to the King of the Ring, gentlemen. Carmelo Hayes takes out babyface Baron Corbin. You could sign me up for that. Corbin uses his size as an advantage before Melo steals one with a small package. I don't know if Corbin's going to have anything significant going on the main roster this time around. I did like his backstage interview where he was like, I didn't know who I was. Was I a king? Was I a constable? Was I poor? Was I rich? I don't know. I went down to NXT and I found myself. Now I'm just up here and I'm being me. And I thought this was a pretty good high-octane match there for a little bit, and Carmelo gets the win.
That was a shit of an interview. I didn't like it. He almost put me to sleep. But Corbin put 9,000 big moves on him, and he wins with a small package.
Steals it.
Which is okay, stole one. But
yeah. Stole one.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling the interview. It was just like, yeah, this will never get over, sir. I was like, yeah. I like Baron Corbin, who's still a jerk, but people just cheer him. Like, I prefer that over, oh, I didn't know what I was, so I'm gonna play myself instead of a character. No, sir, I'd rather you just play the character. Play the poor one. That was the best one.
Because you can't play yourself or the shit.
But the match, though, it was good. For 6.5 minutes, I thought it was the perfect amount of time. I thought Corbin,
a lot of bumps.
He worked really well as a big man, respected veteran. He was like Kane with a better moveset. It was like really, he worked really well in the ring with Carmelo. And I like Carmelo being the plucky heel here and getting the win with the small package. So I thought they worked really well together.
Who was the heel?
Carmelo.
Carmelo. Yeah. Chuck saying super chat. Thank you, Chuck. I feel like they are setting Baron Corbin up for failure with a face loss to Carmelo Hayes. Hope that I'm wrong because I like Corbin. I think Corbin has reached I think Corbin has reached that point in his career where he's gotten the respect of the fans for the work that he's put together, and they want more for him. They feel like they want him to win more, and they like him now because he's been around for so long. I don't see it happening. I don't see his role changing either. A whole lot on the main roster.
You know what he's missing? Connectivity with the fans. I mean, when I see Baron Corbin, what do you see, Sid? He's just another guy.
It's because I watched NXT and I saw how he organically became a babyface with Braun Breaker. I'm like so frustrated. I'm as frustrated as I am with AEW not turning Mercedes Moné heel, as I am with WWE not pairing up Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin. They are legitimately actively dropping the ball with both of them by not pairing them up and putting them on separate brands. It's one of the stupidest things they did in the draft.
We got our backstage segment with Solo Sikoa and Paul Heyman, in which Solo Sikoa reveals the new order, saying that he spoke to Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman still has not. And according to Solo Sikoa, the orders are until Reigns comes back, he is in charge, and Heyman is his wise man. And this is after this is after he gave Heyman some third degree about the look that he gave Jey Uso last week, which proves that Solo is smarter than Roman. He actually watches the show, so he ain't gonna be able to get away with that. And we saw that, and this is how brilliant Paul Heyman is. After the match later on, Heyman is like, hey, look at me. Look at me.
He's like, look.
I got the one up. We're good. All right. I know you're watching me at all times now. We're good here. And then the best part is he kind of like forces Heyman to give him a hug. And he says, I love you, my wise man. As he looks over at Tama and Tonka and just gives him that look like, we gonna like, kill
when
this it, bitch.
When I say the word, when I give you the word,
that was good. I couldn't hear the interview that well, but it went a while. That interview did. But they sell it. They look at each other and they give the fan the viewer time to react to it. You know, so everybody's thinking now. That's the biggest difference I see in WWE programming now, is because they're letting the viewers do the thinking too. They're not telling you everything. They're like, well, you're trying to fill in the blanks. And that's the fun part about wrestling, I think, trying to predict what they're going to do. But WWE, they will kind of show you where they're going. And then if they don't go there, you say, damn, miss it. But it's still a good way. They'll pick a good way. That's all they have so far.
This was my favorite segment of the night, because I think that it foreshadowed where Cody is going to go next. I think that it's probably maybe like Money in the Bank or Clash at the Castle. Solo's going to get his shot. because that one line where he said, "Well, you ha- oh, I heard you haven't spoken to Roman since he lost our title at WrestleMania." I was like, "Oh, that means that Solo knows that he needs that to officially be in charge and be the tribal chief of the bloodline." I like that. And that's what he said. He said it's by orders of the tribal chief. He said he spoke to Roman Reigns. That's what he said. But who knows if that's the truth or not. And I like them calling out Heyman pulling Roman from the draft. And that's the reason that they slipped in the third round. And you're costing me money. You're taking food out. Yeah, that was so good. It was so Roman. That's the Roman gaslighting in him. And that was great.
Like, Solo Sikoa, when we've like really kind of first heard him on the microphone when he was talking to John Cena, and then John Cena said, "You've been a mute for a year, and that's the best that you got to what we got right now."
Yeah,
that is tremendous growth. Now, he's very quiet. He's very meticulous in how he delivers his lines. He's very sinister in how he delivers his lines. He is, you know, it's not like he's boring. There's still purpose, even though he's being quiet. It's almost like he's doing it on purpose. So you lean in and you listen close to what he is saying and take in every word. I think he has really shown a lot of good development character wise and how he's delivered his lines over the last few months.
I got a good segment of him for him coming up. They need to give Paul Heyman a lie detector test. Remember that? Remember when they gave Vince one in the middle of the ring? If they give Heyman one, I don't know how they would structure it, but it would be good because Heyman is so great with that face selling. He's sweating. Oh my God, he's shitting bricks. And
you see, you say that, and like the first thing that pops into my mind is, oh, well, Solo needs to go hire a certain family from NXT to come up for an episode of SmackDown and put Heyman through a torture system. Like, I feel like D'Angelo, I'm blanking on his first name. Oh my
Tony
God.
Tony D'Angelo.
Tony D'Angelo. Thank you. It's late. I've had a long day, ladies and gentlemen. So I feel like Tony D'Angelo and the family would be perfect for that one segment. And would be a nice little cup of coffee for them up on the main roster whenever they're ready to come up. I feel like that's perfect for them. This did lead right into Tama Tonga taking on Angelo Dawkins in the opening round instead of Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley apparently hurt while training. Apparently WWE found out earlier in the week that he was hurt and pulled him from the match midweek. Guess it was a training incident. That's the story anyway. So he's out. Dawkins is in. Again, this was another quick match. You had a feeling we weren't going to be getting the 25 minute matches that we were going to get on Raw just because they got more time on Raw to put those matches together. But I thought they maximized their minutes on this one. Montez Ford had a really, really cool spot where he jumps over the ring apron and takes out, you know, Tama and, or at least Solo and, Tongaloa on the outside, but then he ends up eating a Samoan spike that distracts Dawkins. Dawkins gets planted and Tonga wins the matchup. If Lashley wasn't hurt and he didn't already start something with Carmelo, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, the Pride and the Bloodline could be a fun little like month-long program that they could do at a PLE, and I kind of hope they do that at some point down the line here. But this was just to advance Tama Tonga because it seems like he's destined for Randy Orton at some point, maybe in the semifinals in this one. That's your thoughts on what you saw here.
I enjoyed what I'm seeing out of what's his name? Tama, what's his last name? Tonga?
Tama Tonga. Tama Tonga.
Now, where was he before? In Japan?
Yeah, he was in Japan
pro wrestling. He's one of the original members of the Bullet Club.
I think this match was better with Ashley out of it, I think. And it achieved the same purpose because they're going to push the Solo team to the moon. At least, and what a story. And now as we sit and watch this, in the back of everyone's minds, that what's going to happen when Roman comes back. Now, how's that power structure going to shake out?
Yeah.
And that's an angle they hadn't even, that's an angle they haven't even shot, but everybody's thinking it. And they'll wait till he comes back and let's see what happens. Now, if they work a big one there, I mean, they got another 6 months ahead of them. Well, it books itself.
SP3, if, let's just say it's Money in the Bank in Toronto, right? Let's just say that's the big show where Solo gets his title matchup against Cody. Is that the spot where Roman comes back, or is that the spot where maybe we see Jimmy if he's healthy? Because Jimmy is hurt, right? Jimmy's hurt, but he's still on the SmackDown roster as far as we know. Naomi's there, so I got to assume he's still there. Would that be a spot if he's healthy, you bring in Jimmy, or do you think maybe we see Roman and they work toward Roman Cody 3 at SummerSlam?
Yeah, I think they're going to do Roman Cody 3 at SummerSlam because I think Roman, he's only scheduled for one date, and it's the go-home show, the go-home ahead of SummerSlam and on SmackDown. So I think that they're going to hold off on Roman coming back maybe until then. Or, yeah, I could see that. I could see him being like the challenger after Solo comes up short. You do Roman versus Cody, and Solo costs Roman that matchup at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And you just do it. You do it in reverse of instead of Cody doing the third crossroad and getting the spike, it's Roman doing the hoo-wah and then Solo on the apron right in the.
Yep. Yep. Our main event tonight was a WrestleMania rematch. AJ Styles, Randy Orton. Orton got a hell of an entrance again tonight. Not quite what we saw in Lyon, France, but like I said earlier, Wilkes-Barre brought it. I kind of hope this becomes a thing. With
really
people singing
enjoyed
song.
His promo. His promo was really good, really intense, but it definitely spoiled this whole SmackDown side of the tournament. It's going to be Tama Tonga versus Randy Orton. He literally I don't even know if that was in the script. That's how much Orton spoiled this tournament for me on the SmackDown side.
I mean, they could do some BS, right? They could. because you could have one, you
wait
could
a minute,
do
if
a
they
little
do too much, you're saying, oh, it was too much, and then they don't do enough. Well, they could have done a little more here.
You know, Triple H could get on his bullshit on this. He could have each side cost each other the match. You can move to Hayes versus LA Knight to be a little bit more unpredictable, but it certainly sounds like Owens versus Tama Tonga in the semifinals is what we're going to get. I thought this was a really great matchup tonight between Styles and Orton. It was a really nice back and forth chess match there at the end between two veterans. Styles hits the forearm, but Orton just barely able to get the left hand up and grab the right. He was like a little too far away, and he kind of had to like, if he was an inch shorter, I don't know, he gets that. And then he's got a kick out of it, but he got there. AJ poses for just a little too long going for the Styles Clash. Randy connects with the RKO, gets the 1-2-3. SP3, what did you think of the match itself tonight?
Oh, I thought these two had great chemistry with one another, and that was by far better than their WrestleMania 35 matchup. You watch that WrestleMania 35 matchup, it's one of the most forgettable on that 700-hour card. But yeah,
I'm not gonna lie, when Graves brought that up, I literally went, they met at WrestleMania?
Second match on the show. No one remembers it. But yeah, no, they showed really good chemistry here. I thought Orton's selling was
I don't
superb.
Remember.
Oh, of course. Neither do I, really. I just have a knowledge of matches that happen. I don't remember the match too well. But I know this one was better because Orton sold his ass off. I legitimately thought he had an injured leg because he was just selling that leg OD. And I loved AJ's work on it. It feels like AJ found his working boots again. He had to go to France to find it. And all the phenomenal chants brought back the old AJ Styles. He had a banger with Cody, had a banger here with Orton. More of this AJ.
It'd be interesting to see what they do with AJ after this, Dutch, because he really doesn't have kind of a direction to go. Now, there's a lot of new baby faces on the show that he could work with. We saw a lot of We saw a lot of vignettes tonight for people who weren't on the show, who are coming to the show. Andrade is somebody that maybe he could work with. That would be a really, really good matchup, an interesting, you know, feud they could work out there. I don't know what the story would be, but
the vignettes on the show were good. But oh my God, I nearly walked out my living room for that Shinsuke Nakamura vignette. Cause dude, we don't believe you. You need more people telling me that SmackDown gonna change because of you. You like I wanna see you versus Cody Rhodes for a 248 time. I don't wanna see that.
He does have a point.
No, you're right.
You know, with AJ, talking about AJ, they're going to have to do something with him, and I don't really have a clue. I think, what if he took a younger kid and was, like, mentoring him, and then they just tell that story, and then him and the kid, they fall out and take it from there. It's been done before, I know. But you got to tell a story somewhere.
I mean, I don't know. Carmelo ain't listening to anybody. Maybe Styles could be a guy who gets into his ear a little bit, and maybe he starts listening. Whenever Carmelo loses in the King of the Ring tournament, or has a series of setbacks, maybe that's a direction they could go there. I don't know. But like I said, they got a lot of new faces. They got a lot of new baby faces that they could work with AJ Styles. It'll be interesting to see what they end up coming up with. So our semifinals are going to be Orton versus Carmelo Hayes, Tama Tonga versus, again, I'm going to say presumably, but I feel like with Tonga there, it's going to be LA Knight who beat Santos Escobar this weekend. Man, they're going to have LA Knight lose in the quarterfinals. Like, why even put him in this bitch? Like, I don't know what they're doing with LA Knight right now. This is a guy who wrestled on the pre-show at the WWE draft. And he beats AJ Styles at WrestleMania. He doesn't get the title match. He loses the number one contenders match to AJ Styles. Wasn't even at the WWE draft. Was like a fourth round draft pick. And now he's wrestling his opening round King of the Ring matchup on a live event just to get fed to Tama Tonga in the quarterfinals on TV. What? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they prove me wrong and he wins next week. I don't know. We'll see. But I don't know what they're doing with LA Knight right now, and I don't think they know what to do with LA Knight right now.
If he wins, where does he go? I know he goes up. Who does he face when he goes up?
LA Knight. It would be either Orton or Carmelo Hayes. You could do LA Knight.
Go ahead. You do LA Knight new.
LA Knight and you could do LA Knight versus Hayes. I think that would be a matchup you could do. But it seems like they've already set it up for Orton and Tonga, so I don't know how we would even get there. It feels like coming out of WrestleMania, yeah, they gave AJ Styles the title match. That was like, okay, we can do something here with him for 2 weeks. It feels like they don't have any like long-term goals, unless the long-term for Knight is Logan Paul in Cleveland, and they're just like, all right, well, we got to wait until Logan Paul's done with Cody, and then we'll start that program up. So yeah, maybe he's just kind of in purgatory at the moment.
And we're only having kind of main talent beat you. We had AJ beat you to set him up for a world title match. Yeah. We had Tama Tonga beat you because the bigger thing is Tama Tonga versus Randy Orton in this tournament to continue the Bloodline versus Orton and Kevin Owens story. So it's a means to an end. It's giving me it sounds like it's gonna give me my finals prediction. When I saw the full bracket, I said Gunther versus Randy Orton. That's the biggest guy on that SmackDown side for Gunther to beat to become King of the Ring. Mm-hmm. And they immediately in the promo gave me the story that I wanted too. I was like, yeah, Orton could become on the SmackDown side because they can always talk about he's done everything in WWE except for one thing, win the King of the Ring. And then he immediately says it in the promo. I was like, man, I'm too good. I'm too good at this. Too good. Too good.
And this is why I like doing this show, because I can talk things out and figure things out with you guys. And, you know, I can sleep better at night. You know, I don't have to judge things.
First one that mentioned Gunther. He's been left out of everything. He's the go-to guy.
No, he's on Raw. He's on Raw. Yep. He was in the main event against Sheamus.
Got to give him some respect here. So I think he needs to be back on SmackDown.
I know you're very disappointed he ended up on Raw again.
Who's that? Gunther?
Gunther, yeah.
Yes, I am. Because he's the guy. I mean, you can build it around him. He's not a gimmick. He is a gimmick. His whole deal is the gimmick. So, and people believe it. It reminds me, I've said this for Johnny Valentine, because him and Wahoo used to go to the ring. You've heard these stories. They don't even want them to go 20 minutes. They'd go 40, 45 minutes. And they'd settle out the curtain every night. Because even the other guys on the show said, how can they take... They were beating the living shit out of each other. And they come back, and Johnny never said much, and Wahoo didn't say a lot, but they would go out there, and when they locked up, it meant business.
So, sounds like Gunther versus Sheamus.
I did like Sheamus's tweet afterwards saying, I ain't doing this again.
Like, there will be no fourth one. I was like, I respect it with how your chest looks, sir.
Yeah. But I do kind of like that subtle story though of Gunther had to cheat a little bit each time to beat Sheamus.
The last two times. Yeah.
Yeah.
He took a bit of limit the first time and then he had to cheat the last two times.
Yeah. We got Safet saying I think they're making house shows important. And hopefully that they will show the highlights of the King of the Rings matches on Raw and SmackDown. Yeah, I don't have a problem with the opening round matchups being on the house shows, especially with, you know, if you're gonna do a 16 person bracket, just film them. At least put the matches online for people who want to see them.
Take the finish, show it back. Yeah, you explain it all.
So, Fett, that sounds nice. I bet that sounded nice in your head. But you know how they can make house shows important? Maybe if they announce what house show the matches are going to be on. They just told us this weekend's house shows. We don't know. I could be in West Newberry bubble fuck, and I wouldn't know.
That is really an insult to the small towns of America. Bumble, what'd you say? Bumble what? See, that's horrible.
I don't know where West Newberry Bumblefuck is. I don't know where that is,
but it's about three left turns from hell, and then you're south of it.
Oh my gosh. Oh no. We got people in the chat suggesting AJ Styles should team with Omos again. I think that's our cue.
Where is Omos? Where did he go?
He is special attraction. If they got a battle royal, they're going to put him out there. That's about it.
Does he even come to TV ever?
Oh, I ain't there.
So he's getting paid sitting on his big fat butt and making like $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
Well, that's the benefits of being seven foot two, I guess. So
you know who's living an even easier life? His manager. When was the last time we saw MVP?
It's been a while. I saw Omos during WrestleMania.
Is he still there?
As far as we know, yeah.
I thought he was gone.
Nope.
All right.
Omos wasn't even drafted. He wasn't even in the draft. He'll just show up whenever.
For that. Nobody wants him.
Malcolm Musselman wants him around all the time.
Who was the last name in the draft?
The last person in the draft to be taken? Yeah,
the last one to get drafted.
Wasn't it Dijak?
Yeah. Are we talking on TV or supplemental picks?
I guess on TV. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
They had more picks online on TV after the show was over.
Oh, okay. Who was the last one?
Again, on TV or
the NFL, they have a deal about the last draft.
On TV, Blair Davenport.
Yeah. Who we did see a vignette for.
Was that the girl they had on the interview tonight that never showed her name?
The match flow. Yeah, did they not show her name? Like, I was confused.
I
kept looking for it. I'm looking at that girl, and I said, she don't fit in here with these girls. I said, damn.
But that's a good thing. She can stand out. She's a freight train back up and take a dirt road. Anywho. SP3, what you got going on, True Heel Heat, this weekend?
Check out the Drew Hill Heat Flagship Podcast. We go live tomorrow, 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time, talking the latest in professional wrestling. So go over and check us out and subscribe to the channel because we always are there live on Saturdays.
Dutch, what you got going on?
On YouTube, Story Time with Dutch, I'm going to spend an inordinate amount of time talking about my new best friend, Ric Flair, and the bar incident. Plus, hey, you know, somebody sent me a payoff sheet from Houston, Texas, from 1980. You know what the main event got in 1980?
What?
$3,300 in 1980. That's right. That's about 12 grand today. It really is. Yeah. And Paul Bosch, he was the greatest payoff man in the wrestling business. Yeah, I've always heard that about him. So he would pay more just off Houston than the guys would be making the rest of the tour, the rest of the week. So, but anyway, follow me there on YouTube. And if you want to talk to me, Dirty Dutch Mantel with two L's at gmail.com.
Final thing I'll say, you can follow me on Twitter if you want. It's on the screen there. Final thing I'll say, shout out to Alicia Taylor tonight, who made her SmackDown debut as the new ring announcer. Yes. Just called up from NXT after I think she was there for like 5 years. It was a minute she was down there. So shout out to her. Good job tonight. Other than that, I've had a day, y'all. I've been up since 3 a.m. I'm ready to go to bed.
Go to sleep, sir.
See you guys.